guess I'm on. Johnny Winch. A lot of people, John, real formal. I was born in Whistler, born in Woodrow, Saskatchewan, Canada, in 1925. When my parents decided to move back to the United States, and that was in February of 1935. They moved to Enderlin. Just a little sequence of events. We lived there for 3 years, moved to Lisbon, lived there for 3 years, then back to Enderlin. Now, one of the things that I want to mention here is the Merchant Marine. Unfortunately, they've gotten very little publicity. Maybe that's not the word you should use, but publicity would be acknowledgement as far as I'm concerned. But in 1944, I wrote exams for a naval officer and passed and was accepted physically and mentally. But unfortunately, I was 18 years old, 6 days after I got my call from the Navy, and what happened there is that you have to volunteer for induction for 18, go through the procedure. Well, that was fine with me because they had to acknowledge Navy B-5 or B-12 papers, otherwise they could put you wherever they wanted, and then once no concern, I'll just volunteer for induction and present my Navy papers. Unfortunately, when I gave the papers to the captain who was examining the trips, he said, Wentz, step forward. Well, I stepped forward. He said, foreign front footer, huh? That's right, sir, they're just bothering me now. No? He didn't see eye to eye. He took a fellow with his army and lieutenant sit there and say, this guy goes to the old Navy. And he said, I'm sorry, rejected. Well, I can see it was just sort of sour potatoes to the army lieutenant. But the result was that's all I wanted from the Marine. I get there. Street that area afternoon of the Minneapolis going to Fort Snelling, and I went down to the Merchant Marine office and signed up immediately. And was on the road a month afterwards. Well, the results, I opened up a whole new world. I have to say at this time, I would say that. It was a different war, very secret war. Touch on that, I made it on the line here. But how did I wind up with these things off? Thanks to this Army Lieutenant. That's where I went up. The consequences, never been disappointed. I was glad. I've been glad many, many times that I wound up in the Marine. Of course, at that time we were considered strictly civilian, and we in turn didn't receive any of the benefits, GI benefits, like college education, special deals, special home purposes, special interests, a multitude of things that justify the people who were active at the time. But we didn't get, to do any of that. We were strictly a civilian operation. In fact, I can remember the first ship that we took back to San Francisco. I got on the train to home to Enderlin for a couple of weeks. I paid full fare. No breaks. So it's a long story. He said, I mentioned the fact that I was lucky in this respect. I was born severely crippled, but two doctors spoke, so I would probably never walk. Ironically, somewhere before I went into the service, I was driving a freight truck with a French truck line in El Sar, handling an average of 5.5 tons of freight. I was doing that, so I was physically fit very differently. But the captain of the sea, I think, well, I wound up being the 1st of February, and I went to boot camp. Boot, I went to Marine for what is called Chiefs at Bay in Brooklyn. And following that, I had a 6-week course in the boots. Basically, when you turn through the ship, swim, and you had to go up high up and up. Over the side of the high tower, depths similar to ocean. In other words, you gotta be equipped to get off that ship. It's taking a short beat. Now, numbers wise, I was very lucky. I got into radio school. And radio school was Dallas Island, Boston Harbor. And the competition there was ideal. I liked the idea of the radio operator. And the score, of course, at that time, by the way, initially, to be a radio operator, it's a 15-month course in outside. It had been short for 9 months. When I went through, short to 5 months. And communications officers. And, you know, of course, as a result, there was a shortage of manpower all around. But at any rate, I spent my 5 months there. And then, at that point, I shipped out of San Francisco, and ironically, I lived in England. When I was in Boston, we took a couple of hours of the weekend and went down to New York City, and that was just fine. Just fine. Pulling out of the walk out of the floor center of the square, and I looked out towards the edge of the sidewalk. And here was a kid from my home. I told you earlier there was a secret door. Richie is now deceased. Months ago, Johnson read about within a block of my own school together, which is older than I was. But ironically, he had lost two ships in a 2-week period across the East Coast. He never told me about it at all. It was over. Then the information came on. Oh, yeah. But I got there's no other faith in the activity that I experienced. It was called respect. The Navy, in the Army Guard aboard all the merchant ships, primarily liberties. Kaiser building a livery ship in 5 days. But we hit the trail with the livery ship. I think that was my first experience really start to realize what I'd gotten into. Because the night the free ship talk went under the Golden Gate Bridge with a Navy Liberty alongside us. But it had two destroyer escorts. We went all the way to New Guinea, no escort whatsoever. I respect the Navy and Army Guard. All your merchant ships had generals like livery. They had about 420 millimeters and about a 5-incher. And running up, the Geneva Conference many years ago, World War I, was that civilians were never not allowed to pick up arms against the enemy. And, but I was trained on the 20 millimeter in boot camp. I was trained as a loader, by the way, officially. Then they were still ready to operate the gun. Those Navy Guard, Armed Guard, they were given respect for exposure to the Korean. The toward the close, I meant to mention that toward the close of World War II, General Eisenhower said, I quote, "When the final victory is ours, there's no organization that will share credit more deservedly than the Merchant Marine." Now, in the North Atlantic alone, their efforts have lost more than 5,000 patriots. About 733 ships that went down that were destroyed by the submarines. The first 6 months, for example, of the war, December and January, September 41 to June, in that 6 month period, Germany will sunk 400 merchant ships. Now, there's been no credit for 40 some years, just 1988 finally. All the guys were green third time during January, December 41 to the tail end of 1985. Then we were given credit and acknowledged the membership in the an honorable discharge from the Coast Guard. So I do enjoy and enjoy, let's say, do qualify now for medical aid to the hospital. That's all, but that's meaningful. The I have to say, I have to give the by the way, when I do this, I did mention that my parents were told when I was born that my being really crippled, that I would probably never walk, thanks to the Shriners, where they got the touch. Seven operations on the left foot, and 6 on the right foot, 2 years and 3 months of plaster cast above the knee. But I walk today. I have to know. They did it. No cost. One of the enjoyable moments And I remember several. We made some good friends and like opportunity to see people in other parts of the country. I had no opportunity before, I hope. But during experiences wise, we stopped, spent about 6 days in Hawaii. That was the enjoyable part of the whole parade. Anyway, our first stop was at New Guinea. It's called Balandia. And that was a kickoff there for convoys. That's when we joined spent the first Christmas of my life away from my home to go home that year. The difference, that was a totally different world. That's great. Oh, by the way, another thing, I kept a diary. First ship I was on. And this is his first, I think, I got in and they saw this diary. And they came back in San Francisco. And the first thing they did, they took my diary. They cut off several pages. So there he is. I just forget it. But it began, and that's it. The whole philosophy was, don't let the enemy know where they scored. Psychologically, keep everybody else high on our side of the table. But anyway, we took off, and you know, for the kamikazes, well, we caught one. In this convoy, off our starboard beam, there was a sea ship, all served it. And this is kamikaze overshot. So we just put back the stick, came in and caught us mid number three hatch, and blew up. Well, we fought fire for 2 days until we got to where we were heading for the Indian Gulf to become a conquest of New Guinea, or of the islands, and the Philippines. And we fought fire for 2 days, and they wanted to drop us out of the convoy because of the smoke visibility. My captain was an old-timer. I wouldn't even tell him what to do. So we stayed in there. And we got right outside of the Indian Gulf. But I think there was a, another example of it, there was a convoy of all naval ships. Well, right on by the Indian Gulf. And thinking, they're going to follow me. I wouldn't have. The second troop that they ran themselves, the boys and other students, then he said, okay, stop. There were second and second hand for our supplies. After our supplies, we're off track. Right now, in the Mideast War, going in the left. But anyway, 92% of all material supplies, etc., are all in to support the Mideast activity are now in the Merchant Marine. And there have been naval ships manned with Merchant Marine today. So, they're dealt with respect. But it's a lot to say. It took, unfortunately, it took 4 years before it did get there. The first ship I was on was the Otis Skinner. That's the one where we cut the tongue. Well, we got into being called and dropped the ship. Sink it. But my captain said, "No, I'm taking the ship home. That's mine." And I remember that. Fortunately, as a communications officer, you were in the officer class. Hey, they're very nice. But they took big sheets of sheets, and welded to the side of the ship. They put pontoon irons, 93 irons, to build pontoon bridges that twin decks to keep the strength to take off and enter home. Well, we got ready to get out of the ship. We were around for a day or two, but the fact is that I like to have a respect to Scott. He brought a ship home and went into dry dock for repairs. The next one, then we went back to the United States, and I did take off for home, then a couple of weeks, and then I shipped off to Seattle. The exposure there was the Okinawan operation. Okinawa was part of Japan. This is where the war was. All the time, we sat in there, going in two radio operators, And I also did one thing. I had one thing I could say to do something, I was too young to have a sense of fear. Except for one thing. Well, the ship that I was on, I saw to it, a portable transmitter was in my possession. The lower side, my boat. And in fact, there was just cases of cannibal in the first marine. We get down to three guys, not to the station, but go next, who's going to turn the boat out. I thought if there's any chance of radio communication, I'd be the last guy. So, I can honestly say that was a form of fear. Since so young, I didn't realize. But this is what I will say. The armed guard deserves my respect. Yes. They're inside the ship, and they said they were with this guy. They pulled over, and then we went back to another ship. One little incident, when the kamikaze caught my first ship, we fought fire. After the fire was out, I was between decks, between the deck and top deck, and we got down there, and they all said that kamikazes never had parachutes. We took this Jap's body, another kid and I. Took this Jeff's body, got him on, still blocked in secret. So he had most of them attacked. But But it still was going apart. But we took it out, and sure enough, this guy's been here with a parachute. Because at least they weren't going to be through a plane. We had a chance. I get back by another parachute. But ironically, we took the parachute and cut it out of the strip itself. Gave to everybody for a ship. I don't know what they ever have in mind, but I remember what we did. As I say, it's a crazy thing as kids to see. I have to remember one of the incidents that was one of the pleasurables of my time overseas. I had a cousin who was the commander of an LST landing ship. And I knew he was over there someplace. Well, I never found him, of course, on the first ship over there. I was over there for the thing in the Gulf and lady operation. But I always had to have all the boys up on the port ship. I told him, keep your eye open for 745, LST. Well, it turns out that we're laying in Nagushi Harbor in Okinawa operation. And one of the boys came running up to Johnny, we found 745. And Rich came over for a 24-hour for dinner. Well, he came over for dinner, and he said, I said, we kept looking for you on our trip from New Guinea. He said, Johnny, see, you couldn't see on the LSTs, you couldn't see the numbers. They're on the side. There was an LST immediately behind us. We never saw the number. Richard on that one. But he was right there behind me all this time. And he said, yours, by the way, ours is the only ship that got the damage on the basement of the Angel operation. But he said, where were you from that one? I was there. But one of the little aspects of living time spent, I really felt pretty hard. Luckily, as a communications officer, we were an officer court. So we had a guy that came in every day, we had a room, and the officers served separately by a black gentleman who worked on the Soo Line Railway from St. Paul up to Enderlin, my hometown. He was in there. So, he was in on our staff to serve our community. So, that kind of life, I got spoiled. And I had the experience to realize that this was all for real. The biggest thing is I really appreciate this opportunity to put on the record of the preserving nature of Merchant Marine. And for the Navy Armed Guard. Yeah. That's something like that.